Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Good morning, Canvas. Are you guys ready for a great day in the Word? Amen. My name is Katie Brinkman. I am one of the pastors here at Canvas Church. I am also the wife of our lead pastor, Ben Brinkman. So excited to be with you this morning. If you are here and you are one of those individuals that absolutely loves to take notes on paper, and you don't have our paper notes, you can slip up your hand, and our usher is going to bring some paper notes by to you. Others of you, you can just open up your app and go to notes, and we've got notes right there for you. Anytime you come into service, you can stop by our info center and pick up those notes. They'll be there on the table for you. But if you would like them, you can slip your hand up, and we'll make sure we get those to you. Well, I'm excited to continue our series this morning. No, we are not going to watch Stranger Things. All right? We're in a series all about the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to continue that this morning. And, you know, some people would say that's strange, or maybe they've associated strange things with the work of the Holy Spirit. And we want to demystify that and just begin to take a look at the work of the Holy Spirit in the church and in our lives as believers today. For me, about 24 years ago, I walked into church for the very first time. And when I did, I had never had any background whatsoever in church. I had never gone to church before in my life. If I had, it was for a wedding or a funeral. So I had no teaching prior to that day, no understanding of the Bible, of the Holy Spirit, of Jesus. I thought Jesus, you know, the little baby in the manger around Christmas time was just a cute little image. I didn't fully understand that he was the Savior of the world, and that's why we were celebrating Christmas. So I walked into church with absolutely no filters, no previous conceived ideas or teachings about Jesus, about God, my Heavenly Father, about the Holy Spirit. And so I came in, and it just was all brand new to me. And the first message of our series, Pastor Ben talked about filters. And he encouraged all of us, you know, because we all have, you know, filters that we bring things through. For me, walking to church for the first time, I didn't have any previous teachings or understanding. So this became my filter for all things pertaining to Christ, pertaining to God, pertaining to the Holy Spirit. This became my filter because I didn't know that there was anywhere else to go other than right here. I didn't know about the latest, greatest book that was out. This is what I knew about. And so when I came into the church and I came under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and gave my life to Jesus because I knew that I needed forgiveness for my sins, I began to hear about the Holy Spirit, and I didn't understand what that was about. And being a new Christ follower surrounded by people that I knew had served the Lord most of their lives, I was a little bit intimidated to ask questions about the Holy Spirit, about the Bible. And so rather than doing that, I just went right here. And I began to search out the scriptures about the Holy Spirit. From the beginning in Genesis all the way through Revelations, I dove into the Bible. And as I did, I began to discover who the Holy Spirit was and what he wanted to do in my life. And it was absolutely incredible. And so those of you that maybe you're joining us for the first time today, or and you haven't heard much about you haven't heard any of our previous messages in this series, I just want to encourage you to just set aside any teachings or any other understandings that maybe you've had in the past, or books that you've read, or something that you've Googled about the Holy Spirit. Let's set those filters aside this morning and just join with me as I did that beginning when I started my journey of faith. Just join with me and allow the Word to be our filter this morning so that we dive into it. I remember, you know, early on I searched the scriptures to discover about the Holy Spirit, but then later on in my faith journey, obviously I'd been under some preaching about the Holy Spirit, and later on I attended a Bible college and was obviously taught more about the scriptures and about the Holy Spirit. And I was actually at a Bible college that believed and taught differently than what I had learned and discovered for myself in Scripture. And so when I was in some classes and I began to, you know, hear some teaching that was different than what I believed at that point in my life, you know what it did? It drove me right back to here. It didn't drive me to Google, because there wasn't Google at the time. The World Wide Web was barely a thing at that time. It didn't drive me to those sources. It drove me right back to the Scriptures. It drove me back to just saying, why do I believe what I believe? It challenged me to go right back to the Word of God. And so maybe you're going to be here today and you hear something that's different than what you've been taught in the past. I just encourage you to go right back here after our services. This is the foundation for every believer, every Christ follower. It's the foundation. It's the Word of God is what Canvas Church is built upon. And so let's go right back there and just dive into it. Let's take a look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, this is Jesus talking to the disciples. We're going to look at a passage in John 14, then also flip a couple pages over to John chapter 16. I'm reading in the Holman Christian Standard Bible. So John 14, starting in verse 15, it says, "If you love me, you will keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him, but you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. I am coming to you." Now let's flip over to John chapter 16. In John 16, we're going to read starting in verse 7. It says, "Nevertheless, I am telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away, because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, and you will no longer see me. And about judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I still have many things to tell you, but I can't bear to tell you, but you can't bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. This is why I told you that he takes from what is mine and will declare it to you." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day and this opportunity to gather together as believers and to hear your word this morning. And Holy Spirit, we just pray that you would minister to each one of us today. Speak to us today. Lead us and guide us in truth today. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Amen. Well, my husband and I are parents, and we have two teenage daughters, which we love very much. And it's an absolute joy to be a parent. Do I have any parents in the place here this morning? Do I have any children in the place? That would be all of us, technically. Right? We'd all technically be someone's child. Well, as a parent, you know, I remember early on when our kids were little, there came a point in our parenting journey that we needed to go on a date. I'm not just talking about we wanted to go on a date. We needed to go on a date. Anybody else understand the difference there? Okay, we needed to go on a date. And can I just challenge you? I don't care how long you've been married. If you're not dating your spouse, you need to start dating your spouse right now. Dating doesn't stop with the whole courtship. When you get married, you ought to be continuing to date your spouse. And I remember, our kids were just real little, and there was a point where, you know, they would cry and cry and cry and cry if they knew mom and dad were going to be going away. And speaking of the whole dating thing, I remember the moment when we finally had to sit our kids down and be like, "Now, do you want mommy and daddy to love each other forever and ever? Yes. Then you need to let mom and dad go on a date. You need to stop crying. Mommy and daddy need to go on a date tonight." And they were like, "Okay." And after that moment, it was like, Mom and Dad are going to go on a date. And they're like, okay, go on a date. Go on a date. We want you to be married forever and ever and ever. Love each other forever and ever and ever. But I remember when they were little, you know, and they didn't fully understand, you know, all of those things. But I remember trying to prepare them for Mom and Dad to go out, trying to prepare them for Grandma and Grandpa were coming and Mom and Dad were going to be gone. I remember being like, you know, it's going to be so much fun. And they're like, don't go. Don't leave us. We're like, but Grandma and Grandpa are coming, and you're going to play with Grandma and Grandpa, and you're going to get to do hide and seek, and Grandma and Grandpa are going to make you treats, and Grandma and Grandpa are going to do this, and you're going to do that, and it's going to be so much fun, and we try to prepare them and build this thing up and get them all excited, and then Grandma and Grandpa walk through the door, and they're like, we don't want you to go. Like, no, don't go. But we're like, no, trust us. Life is good when Grandma, how many of you know, you've learned life is really good when Grandma and Grandpa walk through the door. Come on. Now, you know, early on we try to prepare them, like, this is going to be fun, we're not going to be here. And they're like, what do you mean? It's not going to be fun. Life isn't fun without you here. We're like, but Grandma and Grandpa are coming. Now, fast forward a few years, a few date nights when Mom and Dad were gone, a few vacations where Mom and Dad went and celebrated their anniversary with just the two of them, and they experienced life with Grandma and Grandpa, there came a point where we said, hey, Mom and Dad are going to go. Who's going to come? Grandma and Grandpa. Okay, goodbye. We didn't have to say anything else. Hey, Grandma and Grandpa are coming. Bye. And then it came where they wouldn't even say goodbye anymore. Have you ever been there where it's like Grandma and Grandpa walk through the door and it's like you're invisible? You know, you're invisible. Well, here's Jesus, you know, and he's with the disciples and he's trying to prepare them. Hey, guys, I'm going to go away, but it's going to be so good. They're like, what? It's not going to be good. What do you mean you're going to go away? But we've been following you for 3 years. You're the one with... You know, you're the one with the teaching and the truth. You're the one that heals. You're the one that does a miracle. What do you mean? This is not going to be good. He's like, but guys, another's going to come. And he's the Holy Spirit. And life is going to be amazing. And the disciples are like, huh? But in this passage, Jesus is like, I'm preparing you. Much like, you know, Mom and Dad try to prepare the kids. Life is going to, and then later on, they realized life is real good. Because here's the thing. Jesus, fully God, was also fully man, right? And being fully man, there was a physical limitation that Jesus had. He couldn't be with everyone at every moment, at all times. He couldn't be with Peter in one place and John in another place and Matthew in another place all at the same moment. He was limited physically because of this body that he was in. But he says to them, hey, it's better that I go away because the Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to be with you forever. Peter, he's going to be with you forever. He's going to be with you, Matthew, forever. He's going to be with you forever. Forever. And so, life is going to be good. But not only is he going to be with you forever, there's some things that he's going to do. And so today we're going to dive into the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm just going to pause for a moment and let you know that there is no way on a Sunday morning with the amount of time that I have to go through all of the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's impossible. That's why we have Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock for you. So this Wednesday night, I want to encourage you to come back because we can dive into things and see how is the Holy Spirit work in the Old Testament? How is the Holy Spirit at work in the New Testament? How is the Holy Spirit at work in the life of the believer and cover? There's so much more to cover and so much more to see in Scripture. Today, I'm just going to give you three things. So I want to focus in on three ways that the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives today. And the first one, number one, is he convicts. The Holy Spirit convicts. And we see that here in verse 8 of chapter 16 where it says, when he comes, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He will convict. He will convict. And then as we fast forward into Acts chapter 2, we actually see this take place Acts chapter 2 is known as the, we see the day of Pentecost take place, where the disciples are in an upper room and the Holy Spirit comes down and they receive the Holy Spirit and then they go out and a man named Peter goes out from that moment and now men and thousands and thousands and thousands of men are gathered and women and children are gathered in that place at the moment and they are witnessing something and they're not fully understanding what's happening and Peter stands up with great boldness because the Holy Spirit came and that's another thing, work of the Holy Spirit, we are not going to cover today, but in great boldness he stands up and he begins to preach the truth about this Jesus that they knew about. And he preaches about who Jesus was, what Jesus did. And as he does that, it says in verse 37, they are hearing this. They're hearing the preaching of Peter, and they came under deep conviction and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what must we do? Conviction comes, and they're like, what do we do now? What do we do with this? And Peter says, repent and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord your God will call. Deep conviction came, and they came asking, what do we do? Okay, so the Holy Spirit convicts. But we need to address, take a look at the definition of two words here, condemnation and conviction, because there's a difference, okay? And we need to understand that Holy Spirit doesn't come to condemn, the Holy Spirit comes to convict, okay? Condemnation, the definition of condemnation is the act of condemning someone to punishment. The act of condemning someone to punishment. The definition of conviction is a declaration of guilt. Condemnation is the act of condemning to punishment, where conviction is a declaration of guilt. Condemnation leads to hopelessness. It leads to punishment. Conviction leads to repentance. It leads us to Jesus. It leads us to life. It leads us to hope. It leads us to forgiveness. It leads us to freedom in Christ Jesus. Now, Romans 8, verse 1. Romans 8, you can just write this down. It's not on your notes. Romans 8, verse 1 says this. It says, therefore, no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus. There is, therefore, no condemnation for those of us that call ourselves Christ followers. Okay? There's no condemnation. John 3:16, I love this verse, and a lot of us may have John 3:16 memorized, but we're not going to just look at John 3:16, we're going to continue on to verse 17. John 3:16-17 says, for God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. I love that as we continue, we hear the heart of God. For God did not send his Son into the world that he might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. The work of the Holy Spirit is a work of conviction, not condemnation. The Holy Spirit is not interested in condemning us to punishment for sins that Jesus has already paid for on the cross. The Holy Spirit does not come and condemn us for sins that Jesus has already paid for on the cross. It's not what he does. The Holy Spirit comes and convicts us of sin and points us to Jesus so that we can say, hey, Jesus, thank you for the work that you did on the cross, that in that work, I have forgiveness of sins. That Jesus, on the cross, you took every sin of every man, every woman, every child, every individual on the face of this planet that lived, that lives now, and will live in the future. You took all sin upon yourself so that we might be forgiven. He paid the penalty of death for sin on the cross. And the Holy Spirit is not interested in condemning you for what Jesus already paid for on the cross. The Holy Spirit comes to convict us and point us to Jesus and say, hey, that sin in your life, Jesus paid for that sin. And you can find forgiveness for that in him. Where condemnation gets us stuck in sin. Condemnation brings a sense of hopelessness. Condemnation, those thoughts that come that say what you've done is now who you are, where Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes and says, man, what you've done, there's an answer for that in Jesus. There's freedom for that in Jesus. There's hope for you in Jesus. Conviction is about moving us forward, where condemnation gets us stuck in our sin, in our past, in our mistakes. Conviction, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to come and convict. Have you ever seen a child real young and you walk into the kitchen and the minute you walk, you open the door and you walk in, they're like, what? I didn't do anything. And the cookie crumbs are still like, the remnants are all over their face. Have you ever been there? I've been there. I'll walk in the room and my kids suddenly like, I said nothing. I did nothing. It hadn't even been long enough period of time for me to have even a particular look, you know, of the looks that moms that we can give sometimes. You know what I'm talking about? That look that's like, I know what you did last night. I didn't even have time for that. I just walk in the room and it's like, what? I did nothing. What's happening in that moment? There's a thing called guilt. This sense on the inside of, ooh, what I did, I know that was wrong. And guilt is one of the greatest tools that the Holy Spirit will use in our lives. Yeah. It's one of the greatest tools that he'll use in our lives to point us to Jesus. That thing called guilt. It's a tool that he'll use. Now, I've heard people say, people that are very close to me, you're making me feel guilty. Like, no, I'm bringing correction. And if you're feeling guilt, that may just be the work of the Holy Spirit revealing something in you so that he can continue the work of making you more Christ-like and pointing you to Jesus, right? Now, can people make us feel condemned? Yes. Are there things that people can say and do that are harmful and make us feel like we are worthless? Yes, I don't want to discount that. Absolutely, that can happen. I remember as I was thinking and praying about the message for today and this thought about the work of the Holy Spirit of conviction in our lives, I was reminded of my grandfather who, I don't want to cry, I love so much. It was like a second father to me in my life. When he was on his deathbed, he had been diagnosed at this point. He was just on hospice and he had a short time left to live and he didn't have a relationship with Jesus. He started getting very fearful and feeling very afraid of dying because of what was gonna happen after, what happens after I die. And I remember getting a phone call from my family and saying, he wants you to come. And at one point, it's so funny, the doctors or nurses, I don't know who it was, it walked into his room and said, well, do you want us to call a chaplain for you? He goes, I don't need your chaplain. I got my own chaplain. Call Katie. You know, I'm like, I love you, Grandpa. And so they called, and I went, and he began to, I began to learn a little bit about my grandfather's past that I had not known about, that he had never shared with me before, about being a young boy and growing up in the South and having gone to experience some, you know, encounters with church. I don't fully understand what it was, but being at a place and hearing from individuals in his life, a message of like hellfire, brimstone type of message. And it made him very afraid of God for him. This just as a young boy and him with his limited understanding and trying to process what he was hearing, he just remembered being very afraid of God, being very afraid of death and what would happen and judgment, and that he had in this in his mind an image of God being the big judge sitting up in heaven with a hammer just waiting to just boom, just, you know, punish him for his mistakes. And so as he's on his deathbed, he got very, very fearful of death and very fearful of the moment because he knew after that what was to come, and he was afraid of God. He was very afraid of God. And so we sat down and I began to talk to him, and you know, as I shared with him about Jesus and about the love of God, you know, I remember looking at him and saying, "Grandpa, do you want Jesus in your life?" And I began to talk to him about how much God loves him and that in Jesus there's forgiveness for our sins, that God is not waiting to punish us. The whole purpose of Jesus coming is because he wants to be in relationship with us, because he loves us so much and he doesn't want anything to come in the way of us being in relationship with him. He wants us, he wants to be related, and he can't wait for that day when we cross over the threshold of heaven and we're there with him for all eternity, forever and ever and ever, in constant communion with him in heaven. It's going to be a glorious moment, and he can't wait for that day. But my grandfather was so fearful and so afraid. But I remember explaining to him the scriptures and reading many verses to him, just like the one here in John 3, 16 and 17, that Jesus didn't come to condemn, but he came to give life. He came to save. He came to free us from sin so that we can have an unhindered relationship with our Heavenly Father. And I did that, and I said, "Grandpa, do you want Jesus? Do you need Jesus in your life? Do you want to pray?" And I remember praying with him in that moment and leading him to Christ. I remember saying amen, and he opened his eyes and tears rolling down his face. Joy. I just saw joy in his eyes. I just saw so much freedom and so much joy. And he did pass away, and I know that he's in heaven with his Heavenly Father, and he's not experiencing condemnation or punishment. He's experiencing life forevermore, walking on streets of gold with his Heavenly Father, and it's a glorious thing. Jesus came to give him freedom, to give him life. But there was another voice that my grandfather was hearing, and it was a voice of condemnation. And if you as a Christ follower are experiencing feelings or thoughts of condemnation, you need to know today that that does not come from the Holy Spirit. That is not coming from the Holy Spirit. It's coming from one source. It's called the devil. He's an enemy of every Christ follower, every believer, an enemy of God, and he does not want you to experience freedom in Jesus. He wants you to get stuck in your sin, in your past, in your mistakes. He wants you to stay right there. And so he'll come with those thoughts. And I may not get to my other points, but he'll come with those thoughts. He'll come. I remember just being new to the faith and receiving Jesus into my life. I remember that moment of asking Jesus to forgive me for my sins and feeling forgiven and knowing that I was forgiven and feeling so free, feeling so much joy, so much peace. But then I remember the weeks and the months after that. I remember waking up some mornings and looking in the mirror and seeing that old Katie. I remember feeling these thoughts come to my mind of look at what you've done. Like, God doesn't want you. Look at what you've done. This is what you've done, and rehearsing and bringing back to my mind all of the things that I had done, all of my mistakes, all of my sin, all of that junk from the past. I remember those moments and struggling to look in the mirror and see what God said about me and believe what God said about me, because there was this other voice that came and just tried to remind me of my past and tried to remind me and bring condemnation. And in those moments, I had to go right back here. I had to go right back here and realize the source from which those thoughts and those words were coming. They weren't coming from the Holy Spirit. They weren't coming from God. They were coming from another direction, and they wanted to get me stuck. They wanted to keep me in my past and stop me from moving forward into the things that Jesus had in store for me. And so the Holy Spirit comes and he convicts. Secondly, he comforts. I love this. He comforts. John 14, 16, it says, "I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor." Now, depending on what version of the Bible you're looking at, you might see counselor there. Maybe it says comforter there. Maybe your version says helper there. Now, when we look at the Greek word, the Greek definition of this word is called to one's aid. It means called to one's aid. It's someone that is called alongside. So this word here, it's one that's called alongside. Have you ever been in a moment, and I'm sure that you have, I know I have, in a moment where you are facing something so difficult, it might be loss. That moment when I was experiencing the loss of my grandfather. Maybe you've been in this moment where you're experiencing challenges in your marriage or difficulties in a relationship or the loss of a job or you're going through something. Maybe you made a mistake and some things didn't go the way you thought they were going to go and it's difficult and it's hard. How many of you know in those moments, I'm just going to speak for myself. I can't speak for you. I don't need somebody to come up and tell me, well, why'd you do that? If you would have done this, then you could have, you know what I'm talking about? I don't need somebody to come and give me, you know, 5 points of how I can make sure I avoid this in the future. I don't need somebody to come alongside me and you know, try to fix the problem. And these are all, understand, well-meaning people that love you can come and do this, right? Can do this when difficult, because we all want to love. We all want to help. We all want to do something when we see people that we love going through difficult times, right? But I know for me, when I'm experiencing something and something's not going the way I expected, or I experience loss, or I get a diagnosis, or something happens that's difficult, all I want in that moment is just somebody to come and just be there, to just be there. Just like that shoulder to cry on, you know what I'm talking about? That shoulder to cry on, that person that just comes alongside and just says, I am with you, girlfriend. A girlfriend that I can call and be on the phone and I can just jabber on and on and on and on about what's going on and they don't try to give me solutions. They don't try to fix the problem. They're just like, I am so sorry. Do you want to go get our nails done? Yes. Let's go get our nails done, you know? Do you want to eat some ice cream? You have some Ghirardelli chocolate? Yes. Just come and be with me. Just listen, you know. I want someone that just comes and is just there. You know, when I think of the word comforter, the first thing that comes to my mind is my comforter at home on my bed. I love that thing. I don't know about you. I know our family, we do movie nights together. We love that. We you know, I'm a Marvel fan. My kids are Marvel fans. We were just at Comic-Con. We had a blast. We enjoy watching some good Marvel movies, you know. And so we'll sit down, and when it's like movie night, okay, it's movie night. Everybody knows mom's going to be popping popcorn because I'm a popcorn fan. Any type of popcorn, really, any flavor. I'm good with it. I enjoy popcorn. So popcorn's going to be on, you know, being made. I don't do microwave stuff. I do it on the oven or on the stove. Not the oven. That'd be weird. On the stove. But we know popcorn's going to happen, but then you know what everybody does? We all come into the room and we're dragging out our comforters. And we're getting on the couch and we're getting all cozy. And unfortunately, a lot of times I fall asleep because I'm all wrapped up in that comforter. You know, if it's a movie I'm really excited about and I know I'm going to need to pay attention, I leave the comforter in the bedroom. Because if I bring the comforter out and I get wrapped up in that thing and it wraps around me, I just feel so cozy, so secure, and I'm so comfortable, I'm so much at peace that I end up falling asleep. And then I miss half the movie and I have to wake up early in the morning before everybody gets up and rewind and try to figure out what did I miss and what happened. But I think of that comforter, the Holy Spirit comes and he wants to comfort us. He comes alongside. Acts 9:31 says this. It says, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They were multiplied. Romans 5:5 says this. This hope will not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit pours out God's love in our lives. When we go through tragedy, when we go through loss, when we go through things that just we don't understand, the Holy Spirit comes alongside us and he pours out the love of God in our lives. And I love John 14 in verse 18. In the King James Version, it says, Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you comfortless because I'm going to send the Comforter to you. The Holy Spirit that's going to comfort you. And People have limitations. Your spouse has limitations. Pastors have limitations. People can't be there for you all the time, every time you go through something that is hard. But there's one that can be, and his name is the Holy Spirit. He's with you forever. And he comes to bring comfort. He comes to bring peace. He comes to pour out God's love in your life. And lastly, number three, we're actually going to get through it. He counsels. He counsels. And in my version of this passage, it says, I will send the counselor to you. Now, just like we discovered earlier, that Greek definition there is one that comes alongside. So not only does the Holy Spirit come alongside to comfort us, but the Holy Spirit comes alongside to counsel us. And it says here in verse 7 of chapter 16, for it's your benefit, Jesus is telling him, the counselor is going to come. It's your benefit that I go away. He's going to come to you. Verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. Now, there are many different reasons why we go to counselors, right? And here at Canvas, we believe in counselors. We believe in Christian counselors, and we encourage that. But there are many different reasons why someone might go to a counselor. And they're not just for difficult times that we go through. Now, we go to counselors when we're going through hard times. Maybe we're experiencing something traumatic. Maybe we're trying to work through some things of our past. Maybe it's because of some addictions. We need to go to a counselor and help us walk through some steps to find complete freedom and deliverance in that area. And so there are a lot of different reasons we might go to a counselor, but we also go to a counselor for premarital counseling. Before we're married, we encourage couples to go to premarital counseling to prepare you for marriage, to get you ready, right? I know I've got two daughters. I've got one that's going to be a senior and is going to be heading into this season where she's going to be looking at colleges, and we're there. And I know that throughout high school, they have what they call counselors at the high school. And what is the purpose of those counselors? To make sure that the students are on track for that graduation day, right? To make sure that they take all the classes that they need to take. And as they get into college, they have, you know, academic counselors that are there and available to make sure that, okay, this is the degree that you're going after. This is the desired career that you want to step into. Okay, now let's make sure that you're on the right path to get to that desired destination, right? Well, you know what? Not only those are all good. Those are all good things to do. But can I tell you that counselors here that we can go to in this life are never meant to replace the work of the Holy Spirit as a counselor in our lives. Counselors are great. Christian counselors, counselors that can help you plan out the future to get you to that destination for that career, those are all good, but they're never meant to replace the work of the Holy Spirit as the counselor in your life, as the one that will lead you and guide you into all truth, as the one that will declare to you things to come. Isn't that so cool to think that he declares to us the things that are to come? It says in verse 13, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. In Luke 2:26, there's actually a passage where it's talking about this man by the name of Simeon. Simeon was a believer, and he was in the church, and it says this, that it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Isn't that so cool? That the Holy Spirit can actually reveal to believers things that are going to come. Isn't that cool? Sometimes we get so fearful of the future, of what's to come, because there's this unknown, and we don't know what's to come. But we can look to the Holy Spirit, and we can trust him, and that he's going to lead us, he's going to guide us through this life, and that he can actually reveal to us some things to come. Isn't that amazing? John 16:13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you. But in the end of this verse, in verse 13, it says, he will also declare to you what is to come, like he did with Simeon. Acts 16, verses 6 through 10, is an account of the Apostle Paul in his missionary journey. As the Apostle Paul was traveling around, and he was preaching the gospel to people. This passage here actually describes to us a moment where he wanted to go preach to people in Asia. But it says in this passage that the Holy Spirit prevented him. The Holy Spirit stopped him. Why? Because Paul was being led. He was being guided by the Holy Spirit. And he planned his ways, but he was allowing God to direct his steps. The scripture tells us, we plan our ways, but God directs our steps. The Holy Spirit was guiding him. The Holy Spirit was the one leading him. And it says that the Holy Spirit prevented him from going somewhere. And so as a Christ follower, as a believer, the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. He wants to work in your life. And I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know if maybe you're experiencing the first thing where you're experiencing some conviction. Come on, amen. That is good. You know why? Because he's pointing you to Jesus. He's pointing you to the one that brings freedom, that brings life. Come on, maybe you're here today and you need the Holy Spirit to be at work as the comforter in your life. He is such an amazing comforter with you at all times. He's not limited like mere humans are. He can be with you no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through. He is there to comfort you, to reveal God's love to you, to be with you, to be that one that's right alongside of you through some of the toughest moments in life. Jesus didn't leave us alone. He sent us the Holy Spirit. Will you stand to your feet this morning as we conclude? Sometimes we can talk so much about our Heavenly Father, about the Lord Jesus. But the Holy Spirit is the one at work in the world today. The Holy Spirit is the one here today. Jesus ascended to heaven. He left this earth. And he sent us the Holy Spirit, the counselor, the comforter, the convictor, to be with us. It's such an amazing thing to think. And to think that Jesus said, it's better for you that I go. It's good for you that I go away, because then I can send him and he's gonna be with you forever. Let's close our eyes as we pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your word today. God, we thank you for revealing to us through your word the work of the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you this morning. Thank you. Thank you that you are not just with us, but you dwell within us, that you're with us today. Thank you for your work of conviction that led us to Jesus. Thank you for your work of comfort that brings us peace and comfort in some of our most difficult times. Thank you that you are our counselor that guides us through this journey of life that can be challenging and have its bumps and it's and just navigate through in moments when we don't know which way to go, that Holy Spirit, you're with us and can direct us. We thank you for that today. And if you're here this morning, I just felt this so strongly. If you're here this morning and you would say, you know what, I'm a Christ follower, but I've been struggling with thoughts of condemnation. And Pastor Katie, as you talked about that today, I realized that that's what that is, that it's condemnation. And it's not the Holy Spirit. And it's not about people in my life saying things or doing things. That there's this condemning voice that I've been struggling with that's continuing to remind me of my past. If that's you this morning, can you just slip up your hand so I know who I'm praying for? Thank you. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Yeah. Okay. Okay. Maybe you're here this morning and you're just new to the faith and you're just exploring faith and you're just here and this is all new to you. Or maybe you're just here back, coming back to church and you know that there's some conviction happening in your heart right now. You know that the Holy Spirit is pinpointing something in your life saying, hey, what about this? Let's take that to Jesus. And you know that's you this morning and you need forgiveness today. You need what we talked about this morning to come to Jesus and receive his forgiveness because of the work that he did on the cross. You need Jesus to come into your life, be your Lord and Savior. If that's you this morning, can you just slip your hand up so I know who I'm praying for? Anybody here today? Thank you. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you. Lord, you saw the hands that were raised this morning. God, those that have been battling with thoughts of condemnation. God, those that feel like they're stuck in the past or they're stuck in the mistakes and they're not feeling hope. They're feeling a sense of hopelessness. Lord, I thank you that that is not of you. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come and you would just remind those individuals of the work that Jesus did on the cross for them. Lord, we thank you that there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that every thought of condemnation would go. And Lord, you would replace it with reminders and thoughts of peace and love and joy that is found in Jesus. Lord, we love you and we honor you this morning. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.